Well, we were wrong. It was just the opposite. But within three or four races, we were dialed in, and you can do it too. The idea behind the seminar is to give you the tools that you need so you can go home to wherever your track is, or if you play here, great, you can go home and figure out what your track is doing, what your track is requiring. And say, okay, this horse, he's a good horse. He's a great horse. He's a real winner, but he has no shot today. This other horse doesn't look so good, but he's perfect for this track. Go in. And that's where you get a good price. If the fastest horse won every race, we'd have been out of business a long time ago. Understand percent early? Percent median? Know what it's doing?
I'll learn.
No! This is what you're doing here today. You're supposed to ask these questions. I need someone to feed these and stuff. Come on. I'm dying up here.
You've been fed enough.
Yeah, exactly. percent early will be mentioned in a few of your manuals. In the original stuff, percent early isn't mentioned. The yellow face, he hadn't thunked of it yet. Howard thought of it, and then when he was doing energy, he thought of an improvement on it, percent median. They both do the same thing. Percent median just does it a little better. Obviously, a horse has so much energy, we'll call it, so much vigor, so much strength. We're only interested in what he uses between this point and this point. He crosses this line in front and then falls down dead as a stone. Who cares? The horse cares, and probably the jockey cares, but you don't care. You collect your tickets. Now, admittedly, sometimes the horse runs around, gets in a lather, but before the gate opens, what he does most of the time doesn't much matter. So what we're going to try to do is measure the energy that he uses between here and here. Now, he always uses 100% of his energy, right? He uses 100% of his race energy, because what happens beforehand, we don't have any control. What happens after, we don't have any. We don't care. So we're looking at 100% of his energy. And what we want to know is how much of that energy gets used in this part of the race and how much gets used in this part of the race. This part's twice as long, you'll notice. And we break it there because, I said, the second call is the most important. And also because if you've done any running, you're out sprinting along, isn't the last 100 yards a hell of a lot harder than the first 100 yards? Particularly if you go too fast early?
Well, you, 2 feet or...
Yeah, Jim Bradshaw, who was a track coach, says if you want to learn about percent median, go out and run around this hotel. And start too fast. You'll learn all you ever wanted to know. All you ever wanted to know about distribution of energy. Because it hurts. And it's the same with horses. They have fast twitch and slow twitch muscles and lactic acid buildup and all that happy stuff. You don't need to worry about any of it. Percent median, which is what I recommend that you all use, will show you how the horses distribute their energy. And you will simply say that there are requirements of a track and a distance that say, all right, a horse with, let's pick some numbers, between 70 and 69. We looked at the last 10, 15 races here. All the winners' energy fell in that range. Now we have a horse coming into this race that has a 71 or 72% early, percent median. Does that horse have a shot today? No. He may look great. He'll have a big early pace advantage, but he doesn't have enough to finish the race. Much more typical is you'll see a horse that doesn't have enough. 69 and 70 is winning. You got a horse with a 67. Now, these numbers are all pretty close together. Normal range is about 70.5 to probably the lowest you'd ever see is about a 66. Although I noticed yesterday the horses were running and winning with very high energy, which is again typical of cheap horses. Cheap horses tend to go about the same speed as good ones do in the early part of the race. The reason they're cheap is they stop and the good ones keep on going. You don't have very many good horses. You certainly didn't have very many good horses yesterday. But don't feel that you got to hang your head and say, well, we're not as good as Santa Anita. Yeah, you get better prices. I'd play this place any day over Santa Anita. They moved it a little closer. I mean, the downside is you got to live in Missouri. And if you wear, you know, you dress like a normal person, they say, hey, what is wrong with you?
Xenophobia.
Yeah. Any other questions about the basics here? I'm trying to elicit them because I know if we take a break, someone will come up and what was our factor going to be again?
So would you say percent median then? You're saying that that's the percentage of what's used in the first two.
Yeah. And I can give you the formula if you want it.
Yeah.
Sure. Again, it goes back to feet per second. You take the feet per second, the velocity of the first fraction,
okay,
and the velocity of the second fraction, and you divide that by the velocity of the first, second, and third.
Okay. So that's
so it, it'll give you a number in the 60s, usually the very high 60s, and just get used to looking at that number. At first, it'll say, well, gee, you know, 60, you know, 67, 68, 67.5. It looks so close. They're very different, very different. If you're reading some of the manuals, you will encounter the phrase percent early. Those numbers were in the low 50s.
Yeah, that was confusing to me.
Okay.
Those should be in the upper 60s.
No.
It doesn't seem to be the same sort of thing.
Different
it
formula.
Is. It's exactly the same purpose, but it's a different formula. There we just took the early and divided it by the total.
Okay.
And we got one closer to the 50s. We just found that percent median is not a major breakthrough. It's a marginal increase. And we're always doing these things. Some people get real upset. Hey, how come you didn't introduce this stuff at first? Why are you changing things? I don't know if anybody in here feels like that. They're always changing stuff. The R in PERCO means research. That's what we do. Particularly Jim Bradshaw, who's not here, but you'll meet him tonight, and Howard. They're burning up the phone lines, making little changes in this program and that program. For the last 3 years, that's about all they've done. And they have produced some brilliant programs. And it's going to be an ongoing process. If you come back in a year, you're going to find us talking about new stuff. We're always going to be talking about new stuff. And hopefully it's all going to be better. And it'll all make it easier for you to win. The new programs are actually much easier to use than the old ones. You don't have to do quite as much record keeping. You don't have to write down as much stuff. Howard was saying you don't need to keep a model. You need a track profile, but you don't need a model with energy. And that's a major breakthrough. Any other questions? Sir?
Well, say a horse is most representative race. He runs a 61, this medium.
Make it a little higher than that.
Well, whatever.
68.
He's going to run that at Fairmount Park or anywhere else. Accurate.
No, sir. Part of what he is, that number has two components, the horse and the track. Part of what he's going to run has to do with how that horse. You got a horse who comes out of the gate, he runs along. But at the later part of the race, he's still running along. An even pace horse. You got another horse, he pops that gate. Bam! He's out there. 5 lengths on the field. And then they reel him back in. That's running style. And it's very, very difficult for trainers and jockeys to control. If you've got a slow horse, I don't care. You can buzz him. You can do any damn thing to him. You're not going to make him faster than he is. If you've got a horse that wants that lead, will fight for it, will die for it, it's very difficult to control him. Particularly if you're on a horse accelerating from 0 to 40 in about 50 yards, and you're trying desperately to hang on to his ass. Don't forget, a jockey's top priority in a race is not to win. stay alive. That's his real top priority. So that's part of it. The other part has to do with this. At Hollywood Park, particularly before they changed the finish line, they started the 60s right about there. Now, if you start there, you've got maybe, a couple hundred yards of straight, and then you're into a corner. At Santa Anita, they started the 60s back about here. The difference, Santa Anita is a one-mile track. I assume the Woodlands is a one-mile track. Hollywood Park's a mile and an eighth. Belmont, they use as an airport in the off-season. It's a mile and a half, mile and three-quarters, I don't know. It just depends on the track. So you have a track component, too. The same exact horses, the same colony, same jockeys, same trainers, everything. They run on Monday, closing day at Santa Anita. On Wednesday, they're at Hollywood Park. And their percent median change because of this, because they're on a different track. And so, no, it's not comparable. On the other hand, the running style tends to stay the same. If you've got a horse that goes to the lead at Hollywood Park, chances are he'll go for the lead anywhere. Now, if there's faster horses in the race, he's kind of out of luck. One of the reasons that shippers coming into California tend not to do as well is that our horses fight for that lead very early. European horses in particular, they never saw a 21-3. They're used to 23-second opening quarters, even in sprints. And they're out of the race before it hardly starts. So if they're good horses, they'll learn. They'll work the gates, and they'll eventually pick it up.
Well, he said that he had a horse that shipped in, and now he fits this track.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it would be great. It would be wonderful if you simply said, okay, I'm only going to use horses that have run a couple times over the track. But particularly on the East Coast, that's not reality. In New York or Philadelphia or New Jersey racing, it's an anomaly to have a race without at least two shippers in it. And you're going to have to learn to deal with it. One of the ways you learn to deal with it is you say, okay, I got 100 races here from Philadelphia Park. I got 100 races here from Aqueduct. They're about the same class. What's the percent median average? Take a look. I can tell you between Santa Anita and Hollywood Park. I can't tell you between Philadelphia and Aqueduct. I haven't done that work. That's a question that you have to answer. At the Woodlands, I was using Woodlands pace line. We're into the meet. But I had to use a couple shippers. In fact, I never heard of. And I just had to guess. You just have to guess. Luckily, they both were kind of bad horses. So I was able to get rid of them. But there's one shipping in from EUR. Is that Europe or what the hell is that?
Eureka!
Eureka!
Not our Eureka, they have their own Eureka.
They got their own Eureka. Alright? But that's. And I wish I could say, there's a nice absolute number that will define how a horse runs. But there just isn't.
Profile.
A profile will help, but if you have a horse shipping in from a track that you don't know, you're just going to have to kind of guess. And don't get too strict on this. I had a guy call me up and said, well, my top range, I'll tell you, build a range on these things. Say, look at the last 20 winners, last 10 winners. And say, the top was 69.43. So you put a top of 69.50. The bottom was 68.20. So you say, 68 to 69.50, I'll accept any horse in that range. But don't get, I had a guy call me up and said, the top of my range was 69.50. I had a horse that was 69.53. I threw him out and he won. What went wrong? Yeah, I see you. I'll tell you what went wrong. You went wrong.
Blaming
on the children. Right. 0.03, 3/100ths. These are horses. These aren't little motorcycles out there. They run a little differently. Maybe he stumbled once or something. There's going to be differences. And when you look at a horse, you're going to have a horse that's got 69, 69, 69, 65. What happened? I don't know. Maybe it was in the mud. Maybe you'll see a reason. Maybe he got blocked and it doesn't show. You never know what happened. But go with the prevailing. Just like you'll see a horse that, when the horses get better, they tend to get a little more sustained. And you're just going to have to learn to look at patterns. This is not an exact science. And the people who, the, how many engineers do we have in here? We always have a few. One, two, three. You folks have got a real problem. Because you like numbers. Yeah, you like them exact. Oh, but he takes really neat notes, doesn't he? Oh, God, yes. Really neat, little precise, little precise engineering handwriting. Oh, everything's lined up on these papers. Disgusting. But engineers, and those of you who are a little rigid in your thinking, and ask me how I know this, because I started out that way, say, well, it should be this way. There should be an answer. I have a question. There must be an answer. And the answer that we give is, well, sometimes it's this and sometimes it's that. That makes engineers crazy. That makes engineers and engineer types. I don't want to pick just on the engineers. We can, you know, some housewives are like that. Yeah, doctors. Oh, doctors are the worst. MDs in particular. They want answers, and they don't get them. There is not, many times there isn't an answer. And sometimes the answer is, well, when I see a horse shipping in from EUR, and I don't know where the hell it is, and I don't know what the track is like, I just guess. Vital. Other times, every horse in the race will fall into your guideline. That's absolutely useless. You don't throw out any horses?
You'll have some horse, though, is well over what you know can win, or well under what you know can win, and then you can throw them out.
Sure. And usually those will be horses you throw out anyway. But,
well, don't throw out a lot of 70 and 71s, but you should. They're bet on more than anything else, and there's where your advantage is.
Absolutely. Particularly if you happen to get lucky and find a very sustained track. Sustained tracks are a little more difficult to handicap, but the money is so much better. Really. Any other specific questions?
What would that change of the class and the horse change?
Sure. If you go to a really classy track, say Santa Anita or Aqueduct, and you sit and you look at the bottom of the barrel of Santa Anita's $10,000 claimers. They'll go 22 opening quarter. The stakes horse, the grade one horses, 21 and 3, 21 and 2, very quite different. The difference is those stakes horses just right on draw.
Do you have
they'll finish in 108 and 4.
Let me ask you one question, Dick. Do you have a copy of our track profile? How to delineate class by high, low, and average?
We're gonna do that in the.
Ask Jan to send you no charge.
We've got one in the pass out. Don't worry about it. We've got that covered. You're gonna learn how to learn this. We're gonna show you how to do this kind of thing. Stakes races. The reason those horses are good is because they just keep right on furrowing a hole in the wind. They go right on. It's the third fraction that makes the difference. Stakes horses tend to run more sustained. Not because they're running faster early, but because, although they are a little bit, but because they're running faster late. Look at the difference between a $3,500, I mean, I can open that thing and find horses that went 22s. In $3,500 claiming 22s, open up the Breeders' Cup Sprint and you'll see 22s, 21-4s. It's not the early part of the race. It's that those horses come home in 113, the Breeders' Cup horses come home in 108. So there is definitely a class component there, and that's one of the things that you'll learn to deal with. Anything else? Nothing?
Joey Lewis is a classic.
Yeah, that's well, he's one of my heroes. Yes, ma'am.
How do you figure the hard times for certain class of races, and is it more important to figure the par times than figure the average median this week?
Yeah, I don't much use par times per se, basically, a part-time just says that the average of $10,000 races runs in 111. And the average second call is 45-2. That doesn't tell you that much. Now, if you're doing daily variance and you're building all that stuff, yeah, you can use a part-time chart. But basically, the part-time chart does not contain... Suppose every horse in the race is 3 lengths or 4 lengths or 5 lengths over par. You're still going to find a winner in there someplace. So par is not going to tell you that much. Basically, what you want to track is percent median, and you might want to look at minimum third fractions, things like that.
Are you a phase three user, man?
Yes.
Okay, it's hard to talk pars. Don't talk pars if you're in
the winner. Well, even with phase three, the par is not a particularly valuable thing because a horse may have exceeded par or not exceeded par, done this, done that. But par, they're not running against par. One of the things that we want you to get away from is handicapping horses. How many people in here handicap horses? Ah, you all see trick questions. Yeah. You don't handicap horses. You should handicap races. And if you have a horse in a race that exceeds par, that's who the others are running against. Not par, not some mythical number written down. The par is a rough and ready way of saying this race was faster than normal, this race was slower than normal. And if you have 9 races on the card and 8 of them exceed par, then the track was probably a little fast today. And if you're keeping variance, that's a good thing to know. If you're using most of our automatic programs, either Synergism, which is a phase 3 automatic program, or Energy, you don't really need to know those things. Normally, you'll sacrifice a tiny bit of win percentage, not always, and you'll up your mutual. So the trade-off, we have found that the automatic programs are fine. Don't worry too much about par. It's not a tremendously useful thing. You're going to find that we tell you a lot of things in here that are kind of contrarian. We'll tell you jockeys don't matter, trainer doesn't matter, weight doesn't matter, par doesn't matter, surface variance doesn't matter much. And if you open the average handicapping book, the first thing you'll see is trainer statistics, jockey statistics, weight on, weight off, how to build a part-time table.
How to join the 95% who are losing.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? How come we are different? Well, because we are winning. In any pari-mutuel situation, if you follow the masses, if you do what everyone else does, you are, by definition, a loser. By following the masses, you bet on the favorite. The masses lose about 10%. Because the favorites lose about 10%. So you have to be contrarian to win. And it is to the extent that you can be contrarian and still be viable, still make sense, in horse racing terms, is the extent that you'll win. If you just say, well, I'm just going to bet on the slowest horse in every race, that's very contrarian, but it probably doesn't work so well. So what you have to do